Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I'm going to begin by actually just reading the first reading, the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 4. And there are certain verses used, 22 to 24, 26 to 27, and then verses 31 to 5, 31 to 5. So chapter 4, Galatians 4, 22 to 24, 26 to 27, and verses 31 to the end of that chapter. They skipped around here a bit, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to get you all the verses. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 22. Brothers and sisters, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the freeborn woman. The son of the slave woman was born naturally, the son of the freeborn through a promise. Now this is an allegory. These women represent two covenants. One was from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. This is Hagar. But the Jerusalem above is freeborn, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, you barren one who bore no children. Break forth and shout, you who were not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the deserted one than of her who has a husband. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are children not of the slave woman, but of the freeborn woman. For freedom, Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." So often, brothers and sisters, we operate under the yoke of slavery because we operate without faith and we're bound by things that have no power. We're bound in such a way, we're bound, the power affects us, but it doesn't lead us to anything that is good. We chase after wealth and power, prestige, honor, recognition. We are jealous and envious and bitter, and we strike back in all kinds of ways. We're not free. We're bound. And Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. He wants us. Stand firm, he says. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery is when we allow the things of this world to direct our thoughts, our words, and actions. When we allow the things of this world to captivate us, capture us, and lead us in a direction that's not going to lead to life. Psalm 113, blessed be the name of the Lord forever. And that's what we want to do. We want to bless him. Commentary Magnificat says, for freedom Christ set us free. He will not force us to believe in him. Similarly, no sign will be given if people presume that the marvel of a miracle will convince them to believe in Jesus Christ. You know, if I could see that person healed, then I'll believe. No. It fades very quickly. Oh, that was because this happened or that happened. And in a few weeks, we don't believe anymore. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We believe in him. We think, I don't want to be bound to anybody. We're actually set free when we put our faith in him. That's the paradox. We become free when we bind ourselves to Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in him. The responsorial Psalm 113, blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Praise you, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. From the rising to the setting of the sun is the name of the Lord to be praised. High above all the nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who looks upon the heavens and the earth below? He raises up the lowly from the dust, and from the dunghill he lifts up the poor. God takes us out of the mire and the muck of our circumstances and raises us up to himself if we choose to put our trust in him. But as long as we put our trust in the things of this world, we're going to end up on the dung heap ourselves. Faith is real. It's not just some kind of pious attitude or pious reflection. Faith is real. God infuses it in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of baptism and the grace of confirmation at work. Do you call upon those graces and gifts? I say very frequently, Lord, let all the graces of my baptism and my confirmation come alive in me. I give you full access to me. I surrender to you and to your way of doing things. Help me. Help me to yield to you in everything. Do I fail? Yes. Do I ask forgiveness? Yes. Do I rise up again? Yes. And each time, it's a little better. The gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation." Wouldn't he say this to us? "It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites," remember they repented, "so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And there is something greater than Solomon here. Who? Jesus. Jesus. The queen of the south came to see Solomon because she had heard of his wisdom. And Jesus tells us there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it. Because of the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here. Jesus, the Savior. Have you honestly, truly, in your own heart, have you really given your life to God? Or do you just go to church on Sundays? Maybe say a little prayer sometime during the week. And it's not just the multiplication of doing things, but is your faith growing? You know, people can say, "Oh, I go to adoration 3 times a week and I pray the Stations of the Cross every day." And those things can be very, very good. I'm not downgrading that at all. But if we think that just by doing these things we're going to earn something, that's not it. That's not it. Our prayer and growing in faith is dependent upon our relationship with God. The question is, not am I doing all these things, though they can be signs, but what's going on in my heart? Is my heart more and more given over to God, over to his plan, over to obedience to him? Because God sees all and knows all. Huh? He sees all and knows all. And he knows you. He knows the state of your soul. And he's longing for you to come to him, but he will not force you. Don't give in to those who just decide that they're going to put on an external show, because it's empty. Do you do it out of love, or do you do it so that other people will see how holy you are? Really, brothers and sisters, look at motive. Father B. Jarrett, who was a Dominican priest from England and someone that when I was very young in religious life, I read a lot of what he wrote. Father Bede Jarrett, Dominican priest. He says, "The kingdom of God that our Lord came to establish upon earth was not merely the elaborate or simple knowledge of the ways of God. Rather, it was the individual acceptance of truth simply as a means of life. God teaches me about himself so that in the end I may be led to a closer union with him. It is himself for whom I am created, not for faith. I'm not created for faith. I'm created ultimately for, as he says, possession. Let me read that sentence again. God teaches me about himself so that in the end I may be led to a closer union with him. It is himself for whom I am created. I'm not created for faith. That's not my end goal. My end goal is not faith. My end goal is possession by God, by love itself. The kingdom of God, therefore, says Father Jarrett, is something that the individual from the age of reason to the end of life has to be continually realizing for himself. He has to be continually hammering away at the truths of faith, endeavoring to get more meaning out of them, to find in them the help and guidance that daily life continually demands. The whole series of mysteries will certainly be no use to me in my endless advance to God unless I try to make them my own by ceaselessly pondering over them. Look at the mysteries of the rosary, the 15 mysteries of the rosary. Where is your life in each one of them? The joyful, the sorrowful, the glorious mysteries of the life of God. There's one way of looking at it. Do I make them my own? Do I enter in with Christ that I share in his life through his sufferings, through his death, through his glory? Of themselves, they are just the bare outlines of truths. Yet it is not truths, but the facts that are contained in the truths that are ultimately to influence my life. It's not the truths, but the facts that are contained in the truths that are ultimately to influence my life. Hence, my first act must be to get interested in my faith. Faith has now to be regarded as the revelation to us of the meaning of life, the understanding of life, the effects of life. I shall never become interested in religion until I have come to see that I must make it personal to myself, chew it, digest it, form out of it the sinews of my spiritual being. Faith becomes real. And it fills every muscle and fiber of your being, every organ of your being, if we open ourselves to it, if we seek it day after day. Father Bede says, faith has now to be regarded as the revelation to us of the meaning of life, the understanding of life, the effects of life. I shall never become interested in religion until I have come to see that I must make it personal to myself. What effect does Christ's death on the cross have in my life? What effect does his resurrection have in my life? What does it tell me about him and about me? Make it real. What does Christ's death on the cross have for me? May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.